So welcome back, and let's talk about your first date, your second date. And normally the rule of thumb is hop into bed by date number three. Some people do it on the first date and others wait for months, but when is the right time to start having sex with a new partner?
It is such a good question, and I think everybody would wish that I could say, yes, this is the right date to have sex. But of course, there is no universal right or wrong for this question. It really depends on so many different factors. It can be a personal decision, and it really does require communication, which we spoke about recently, consent, and a mutual understanding between partners. So there's no fixed timeline. There's no particular number of dates. It all comes down to your own individual comfort levels, your own, sexual experiences and preferences, your value systems, your motivations, like all of these things count. And the same goes for the person on the other side. Both parties have to be feeling that it's the right time and consenting, and then it is the right time to progress. So I can go into any of those a little bit deeper.
Let's have a look at those somewhat deeper, but just before we get there, let's take online dating for an example, because you could end up before meeting having pretty heated conversations already. Doesn't that set you up for a first date night of passion?
You're right. People can sometimes get quite heated over sexting. And often with online dating, it's a different world because you're able to say things over text that you might not feel comfortable saying or even doing in person. So it's actually really important to know that no matter what has been said over text, there is no obligation to do that in real life. Okay. And I know people, there are, negative phrases for people who maybe lead somebody on. But regardless, it doesn't matter. There's never any obligation to do anything in real life that you don't feel ready to do. Sexting is its own world and it can be a huge enjoyment. Lots of people gain a lot of pleasure from doing that, from talking about things they want to do together and maybe even sharing photos. But when it gets down to it, in real life, it's different.
So let's rewind and unpack some of those themes you were talking about earlier, in particular about making sure that you check all the boxes before you hop into bed.
Yeah. So I guess the first thing is looking at your own value system. Like, what feels right to you at your core? Maybe you are religious, or maybe you have some kind of moral code that you choose to follow. Do you believe in sex before marriage, for example? What is important to you? What is your value system? That has to be a part of this, right? You don't just want to override because you feel pressured, for example, to do something because the other person wants to do it. So that leads into then your motivations. What are your motivations for wanting to have sex? And if it is because the other person wants to, then that is a red flag. If it's because you want to have sex, right? Literally, you want to experience pleasure, or you want the connection, or you want to have fun, that's all okay. But just ask yourself, what is your motivation? And is this a healthy motivation? Is this a good enough reason to move forward? Then again, your preferences. What are your experiences? Have you had sex a lot of times with a lot of different people? So then this is something that you are experienced and you know how to feel, right? You know how to manage that afterwards. Or is this maybe your first ever time, or your first ever time after divorce, for example? So all of those things will play a part in your own comfort levels, and they are all valid. So just take some time to actually sit down and ask yourself that, like, why do I want to have sex? What is it about it? Is it just because I feel like I should because it's date three? And so then the other person, as I mentioned, also has all of these things to think about as well. So it comes to the point where you need to have a conversation. Like, do you both feel ready? Is it something that you both want? What are your expectations, your desires, your boundaries, and your limits? And when you can have those conversations, if you both feel ready to move forward, and sometimes it doesn't have to be, a big sit-down communication. It can be something that happens in small ways, partly can be done over text as well. But when you feel that you've reached this kind of mutual understanding and everybody is feeling respected, Everyone's autonomy is taken into account, everyone's preferences and timelines and all of that. That is when you know that you can move forward with enthusiastic consent. And that is when you're going to have a fantastic time together. You know that then is the right time. That is not too soon.
And then for sure, though, it doesn't really happen like it does in the movies, does it?
Absolutely not. So in the movies, there's no consent conversation. There's no talk of, STIs or birth control. That doesn't get discussed. Nobody's preferences get discussed. There's no conversation around limits or lubrication. They just catch each other's eye, and then the next thing you know, they are, ripping each other's clothes off, and a simultaneous orgasm is happening. It's very unlikely. So yes, the movies are not designed to educate us on how this should work.
Are there any signs you should look out for from a prospective partner on date 1, 2, 3, or date 100 that tells you this person is ready for the next step? Maybe nonverbal signs or navigating the conversation to such an extent that it doesn't necessarily have to become a clinical discussion.
Yeah, so absolutely. I think one of the best non-verbal signs would be touch. That's something that can be escalated gradually. And it's good because touch can give you a good indicator of where things are going. So you can start off with affectionate touch, touching the hand or touching the waist, as you're walking into an area, you're walking into a venue together, maybe put your hands on their waist and move them towards the table. So you're aiming for 1 to 3 second touches in areas that are publicly acceptable. And then taking away the touch, reading the sign, how was that received? So this happens quite naturally for most of us that we would touch, see how the other person reacts. Do they lean in? Did they enjoy the touch? Are they reciprocating? Right. So those kinds of signals can be really helpful. So seeing then, are they responding? Are they touching you? And then, of course, the touch can escalate slightly into more intimate touch or flirtatious touch. So how is that progressing? Maybe if you lean forward, for example, and move the person's hair off of their face, that's considered quite intimate. How do they react to that? Are you leaning forward? Are you both leaning forwards? Are you kind of getting, is the conversation getting a little bit cheeky? So those are small signs to look out for. It doesn't matter what date number it is on. But I would say that regardless of what it looks like is happening, you want to take it slowly and give the person time to receive the touch, process how they feel and respond to it. But even if you think you're getting all of the right signals, you still need to be sure that you have enthusiastic consent before you move towards a more physical connection.
So the old high school adage of first base, second base, third base, and home run might just still hold true in the sequence that you should do it to be very sure of the end game.
Yeah, I think so. Of course, there are situations where people connect online, for example, and they are very clear of their expectations and their intent, and they're able to have full conversations about limits, and they decide to move forwards more quickly. And then they don't want to go through all of the bases. And that is okay, as long as both parties are fully consenting and aware, and both feel that this is not too soon. And with all of the things that we've mentioned, then that's okay. There is literally no right or wrong way.
So no hard and fast rules to, I suppose, getting it on while dating.
No hard and fast rules. As long as you feel comfortable and they feel comfortable and you've checked in with yourself, because that's really important. It can be very easy to get carried away by the endorphins, by the feelings of lust, and by the excitement of the moment. And so that's why it's important to just, take a breather, check in with your value system, your motivations, and your experiences, as I said, because if this is something you've done before, then you can trust yourself maybe a little bit more to know that yes, this is what you want. But if you find yourself consenting and then changing your mind, that is still okay. It's important to know that as well. It's okay to feel like you're ready, and then when it actually gets down to it, change your mind. It still is okay. You're able to say no. Consent is an ongoing process.
Just on a final note, in today's multi-ensemble, I suppose, theater of sexuality, would these rules apply to dating a couple, to two couples dating? Would the same rules really apply across the board to all the various different iterations of, I suppose, coupling up, for lack of a better term?
Absolutely. Yes. This applies whether it is a couple or a throuple or a group situation. Everybody needs to be respecting everybody's individual autonomy and boundaries and preferences. Everybody matters and everybody's value system matters. And consent is important for all parties involved. So it really doesn't matter how many people are involved. As long as everybody is happy and enthusiastically consenting, then it is the right time. So if you're in a group situation and one person isn't comfortable, then is it okay for everybody else to proceed? Those are conversations that need to be had. And that's why it is impossible for there to be a universal rule.
Lisa, thank you so much, and we'll speak to you again very soon.
Thank you, Hein.